Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Vlad, this is Shan, Petri and Nikola.
Hey guys.
And this week it's four of us because we have a lot of news to share. And the biggest one probably is Build.
What is Build, Vlad? Can you tell us a bit more about Build?
If you don't know what Build is, you probably shouldn't be here and go and watch videos on Channel 9, actually, right?
So it's the
everything
big marks
on the
of
there,
yeah,
the
it's the big marks of developer conference. Like we have it every year. This year is slightly different though because where is it? Seattle.
Where is Seattle?
Yeah, so it's
where I live.
Right here. So it's in the hometown, which is going to be great.
That's right. It's where we all live.
And it's in May 10th to the 12th.
Yeah.
So it's slightly later than last year, but it should be great. We've got loads of cool stuff to talk about this year. It's quite exciting.
Yeah, last year we announced the new Windows 10 update. And then we've had like several more updates since then. And I think we're going to announce probably more updates this time. We're going to talk about Azure. We're going to talk about IoT. Talk about everything you want to know about that's going to be in there.
It's going to be a busy time ahead.
That's right. And we have about 6 months to go, so we have plenty of time to prepare.
We'll
probably do it everything last minute.
Like as usual.
But you know, we
it's
got
gonna
there.
Be, it's going to be epic.
Yeah, and May is going to be good enough in Seattle. You're going to do it in March.
Actually, it's good weather. Yes, you're right.
Good weather. And one of the topics we're going to talk about, we actually started talking about it probably 2 or even 3 months ago, back in China again. And this week we had the WinHack conference, again in China. And we started talking about device innovation opportunities across many categories, but mainly around like mid-range PCs. Also about new mobile category, which is based on the Qualcomm chips where we can emulate x86 and run Win32 x86 apps.
Which is really cool because we showed all kinds of cool stuff. We even showed Photoshop running on a Qualcomm chip, which is incredible.
Yeah, which is really incredible. Yeah. And the new category we again started talking about is VR devices. I mean, mixed reality devices, including, I would say, low cost VR devices from different partners. This is what's really exciting.
Yeah. Fine. So just to clarify, WinHack's the hardware conference, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's mostly targeting the hardware maker audience.
Okay.
Yeah. And with this holographic motion, we basically open up the specifications and we let anyone build a device compatible with the Windows holographic, and then any developer can build apps on that and run it across many devices.
The more we have, the more people we have doing this, everyone wins.
Yeah. We're going to get more experiences and probably even new things that we don't even can't even think about right now.
That's right. And we're not just contributing the spec or like APIs, not the software side. We're also contributing the what we call inside-out tracking capabilities. So for doing room or how we call it world-scale head tracking, like 6 degrees of freedom. You only need the device and not like any additional sensors, which is huge.
Yeah, right? Because I always trip over all my sensors in my living room because there's so many things lying around, so I can get rid of that. It
would be. And do we know when we're going to have the first devices coming out?
So first developer kits, we're going to start distributing them at GDC in February, right?
Okay.
It's going to be February. February to March kind of time frame. And then the devices themselves are going to become generally available the next year, next calendar year, 2017.
That's
really
big.
Cool. So anybody can go just buy them.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they're going to work with the mid-range PCs and even laptops, so it's not like modern VR devices.
You don't need
VR
to invest a lot to just upgrade your entire system. You can just keep what you have.
Okay.
Democratizing VR.
Yeah.
Nice. What's next?
Going forward, LinkedIn.
And Microsoft.
So it's
finally
happening.
Yes.
It's been a while. We've heard about this thing for a few months now.
Yeah. So anyone from LinkedIn watching, welcome. it's going to be really cool to have you guys here. So it's a great opportunity for everybody who uses the services of LinkedIn and integrating with a lot of our Office products. So it'll be a nice way to interface, you know, if you've ever got those meetings trying to wonder, hey, I wonder who this person is. It might integrate into Outlook or Office 365, so you'll know who they are and their credentials. Hopefully it'll make just the whole productivity piece so much easier and simpler for people to use. It'll be nice.
Yeah, just to clarify, the deal itself was signed a long time ago, but this week happened that all the like we got all the regulatory approvals around the world, including like European Union.
Yeah.
So now it's kind of, I don't know, now it's in concrete, right? So it's something that we can happening. Say, yeah, LinkedIn and Microsoft are together now.
Yeah, this is really exciting.
Official.
Yeah.
And Satya talked about all the integration plans they have about how to integrate everything into different services, which is, I think, is really cool, and how the mission is to continue improving LinkedIn and growing LinkedIn and Microsoft at the same time.
Yeah.
Excellent. Talking about linking stuff.
Symlinks.
Symlinks. You probably know about symbolic links on Linux, and they also available on Windows since Vista, actually. And those are cool stuff. So you can create, like, just to explain, you can create like real files or real folders, and then you can create sort of shortcuts, but those are not Windows shortcuts as we know them. Those are, they act like as additional names. So if I operate with the symlink on in a different place, in a different folder, they act as real
so it's more like
names.
A pointer.
Yeah, it's more like
it's a pointer.
Yeah.
It's a virtual link.
Too. Yeah, the whole thing about the recent insider build of Windows 10 is that starting that insider build, first we simplified the APIs of creating symlinks for developers. It's not just like, it's not all, since this build, it's not about like complicated API calls. And also, we don't require to elevate permissions to administrator rights to create symlinks, because before it was like this, which I don't understand why.
Oh,
yeah.
Apparently, there was no reason for it since we did this.
Yeah. That's an excellent thing, because I remember back to my like old developer times where we were actually struggling with some like redirection issues, and we were like, oh, why don't we do symlink? And they're like, no, we can't, because it requires elevation.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it doesn't. Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So moving on to the theme of system stuff.
Oh yeah, system
internals. I love this stuff.
Yeah.
It. So sysinternal. So for those of you who don't know, sysinternals is basically it's like a suite of tools. Allows you to try and troubleshoot Windows, or if you have any issues with maybe trying to understand what an application is doing. Mm-hmm. It's got things like process monitor and things like that that allow you to work out registry information and file handlers and stuff. So there's a new version, a new book that's being shipped by Mark Rozenovich.
We'll take you to a master of the processes on your system.
Yeah,
have you heard yourself? You said the new book shipped by Microsoft Rozenovich. Like you ship books?
Mark Rozenovich.
Mark Rozenovich.
So it's the British accent. Yeah.
No. You say it's shipped. Shipped.
Shipped.
They don't ship books. They publish.
Publish books, yeah.
Well, I mean, technically, books can be shipped.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Just got to put that out there.
If anyone's actually, you know, thinking of tinkering around and understanding what Windows does under the hood, or even apps, this is a great place to start. It should be in everyone's toolbox.
Yeah. I'm using it at least once a week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
To be honest. Yeah. Not the book, the tools.
Yeah.
Of course.
Awesome. Going forward, newvisualstudio.com content.
So I'm a big fan of anything that helps you get better in education stuff. So visualstudio.com have introduced this whole thing around Git. So, you know, Git is great and it's got some nice features to it, but sometimes you just don't know where to go or what to do. And this is a great way to learn a bit more about that and how that all integrates with Visual Studio from not just writing code, but the whole DevOps process, which is really important, especially when you're shipping products.
Sharing code between team members instead of emailing code.
Yeah, you shouldn't do
that.
Oh,
you can do it?
Yeah, so this is definitely a starting point. Even if you think you know a little bit about Git, you know, have a look at this. I guarantee you're going to learn something you haven't seen before.
It's great content.
Yeah, actually, Visual Studio team is rebuilding a lot of their content, and this is like just the part of their great job they're doing.
It's really consumable. Which
it's
is
not
nice.
Just about Git. I mean, to be honest here, it's all about DevOps and all about continuous delivery
the whole
and testing and everything. So it's about a way of life, honestly.
Oh.
Coding as a lifestyle.
Exactly. Yeah. Coding as a lifestyle.
Cutting it out.
Always be branching.
Yeah.
Always be branching. Remember that.
Okay.
Going forward and talking about online stuff, there is a new kind of motion. The motion itself is not new. It's just a new article about accessibility in Office 365. You know, we always had the great accessibility across Windows and all our products, but it's always hard to provide the accessibility where you have a lot of custom content and you like it's not just about your app, but also about a lot of additional elements like images, pictures, buttons that developers create in the code. So that's kind of hard. So what Office 365 done, they're actually using a new kind of basically AI features.
So the cognitive services stuff,
like
isn't it?
Cognitive services, again, Microsoft Cognitive Services,
yeah.
For providing better accessibility. Like, for example, if you have an image, they can actually explain you what's on that image. That's a big thing.
So this is kind of cool, because you could have an image of anything, and I suppose the cognitive services reads the image and then verbally speaks out what the image is, or puts alt text in, or something like that.
Yeah. Cool. So it enables more people, which is good.
Yeah.
More people, more customers.
Yeah.
Great. And then talking about cool stuff. We have this
the future.
So if you guys didn't know, this week is the Computer Science Education Week, which means that a lot of visibility comes to learning how to code and being able to talk about technology and being able to be more inclusive of the technology community. And Microsoft put out a blog post on where they ask Microsoft researchers of what they think about the future, what they think is going to happen in a year from now, what's going to happen about 10 years from now. And they asked about various different topics. They talked all the way from VR, things about encryption, mathematics, natural user interfaces, et cetera, of what they think the world and technology is going to go from here. And it's a very interesting article, because all these researchers are people that are working on this stuff, and they've been working on this stuff for years. And they, I think they have an idea of where things are heading, because they're the guys building this thing. And it's good to see, it's interesting to see what they think is going to be the future of these things. My favorite thing is about encryption. There's a, one of the researchers talks about where we're going to go with encryption, and how with the improvement of quantum computing, all the low-level encryption we have right now that's unbreakable almost, it's going to be very easy or trivial to break. And we've got to start thinking about how we're going to actually make encryption that can't even be broken with quantum computing, et cetera. So all these different improvements is just a whole way of reinventing everything again, because we're just getting everything better and better.
So this is like the ultimate geek out, really.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love this.
Exactly. Just to see where we're going to go from now. It's just amazing.
Oh.
Yeah. Definitely recommend it to read.
So with all these, really, with all these trend of getting rid of jobs and moving them to AI, it seems like developer jobs are going to be here.
Exactly. I mean, we're the ones that are building the future.
Excellent. I feel safe.
Yeah. I think they say there's going to be 1.4 billion jobs in the tech field in about 3 or 4 years
1. By 4 2020. 1.4 billion jobs?
Yeah. And then there's going to be about 400 million students that will be able to fill those jobs. There's going to be a big deficit of need for these kind of jobs.
I wish I'll still be alive.
Yeah, in 4 years?
Yeah. 4 years. I don't know with this old build and everything.
Okay. 2017.
I might get those numbers wrong, but actually, 1.4 million. That's my mistake.
Yeah, a billion. I was like,
you're off by a few million there.
Okay. Hey, maybe in 100 years.
Yeah, true.
Or maybe tomorrow. Nobody knows.
So, we're on to that time.
Favorite stage.
Yeah. Pick of the week. So my pick of the week is the Windows Insider build. I think this is probably one of my favorite Insider releases, purely because of the integration with Cortana. I think it's going to be brilliant, because at least now with Cortana, even when the machine is locked, you can ask a load of questions. It integrates with music, which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. I like the whole hey, turn the volume up, turn the volume down. It integrates with some music providers as well, third-party music providers. It's just got a whole load of goodness around inking as well, so it remembers where you've sketched. Sometimes when I'm inking and then I go away and I come back and I come back to the ink canvas and it's like, oh no, I've lost it. They're now remembering this, so they're clearly listening to a lot of feedback that people are giving. So yeah, I just like to see all these improvements. Have a play if you haven't already. It's on the fast string, by the way.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I keep losing track of all the new builds we keep releasing for the Insider build. I think we've released on average about a build every week for both desktop and mobile. And there's all kinds of cool stuff coming out of this.
It's amazing.
It's great being part of this, because you get to see everything that the engineers worked on yesterday, and then people are using it today. It's like, okay.
Yeah, from everything from small features such as coloring to these big features that we're talking about now. It's quite cool.
Nice.
Moving forward, Petri.
Yeah, so my pick of the week is Babylon JS 2.5 is out, which is pretty cool. I mean, I have a huge respect for these guys. They've been writing a pretty advanced 3D engine, cross-platform. It works on web, it works on client, everything. And I've been writing some 3D engines myself, and this is quite an advanced one. They've been, I don't know, how many years have they been working on this?
I don't know, five?
Yeah, something like that.
It's been a while.
Yeah. They're on their David Catu's working on it, David Rosset. Sebastian. Yeah, we got some good friends working on this.
It's a very advanced engine. They also have an editor, so you can now like do splitting and modeling. And recently, I learned actually there is a project that ports the whole like TypeScript-based source code to a language called Haxi. And then what's cool about Haxi, then you can generate C-sharp code, and you can generate C++ code. So you basically run Babylon.js natively on your system. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Didn't you do this this other week?
Yeah, I've done it.
C++?
I've done it for C++ first, because it's supported by Haxi like out of the box. And then there is an experimental build of Haxi for C-sharp, and done it too on desktop though.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty cool.
On the Babylon.js page, there's a lot of cool examples. You should get your start with Babylon. What's new in 2.5 is, for example, a more advanced rendering pipeline. So you can do like post-processing effects, like lens flares and depth of field, all that kind of things. So you have also a right-handed coordinate system and a left-handed coordinate system, which you can choose which one you want to use. Highlighting layers, so you can like render highlights for different various interactive projects and so on.
Nice.
It's really cool, because I was talking to these guys and they were telling me about all the new stuff there that's coming up. And one of the reasons why they keep coming up with such a cool things is because there's such a demand. Somebody's a customer is going to come and say, we want to do this. Can we do this? Like, well, not today. And then somebody goes in and the next day is like, oh, yeah, we built this into the platform now, so you can do it.
And it's open source, so people can contribute and everything, right?
Yeah. Excellent. Moving forward. Oh, that's me. So my pick of the week is actually a great, it's not even post, it's like part of documentation now, which is exciting, of special mapping capabilities of HoloLens and of HoloLens HoloToolkit in particular. So basically, spatial understanding is a hard topic, is a hard area overall. And it's even with all the HoloLens special mapping capabilities, it's still a hard topic, because you just map it and you get this mesh, you get this kind of vertices, and you don't know what to do with that. What these guys made, they took code that they made for games like Conquer, I forgot the first word, then the Fragments game. Mm-hmm. Which is quite exciting, because they can find like a sofa, they can find a table, and people were always curious how they did it. So they just took that code and they open sourced that, so you can use it. And they have like a native part, they have Unity part, so you can use it easily without like calling C++ code. And they can do exciting things. Like for example, they can find the floor, they can find the wall, like or like empty enough space on the wall to put something. Or you can query in certain shape, like you can query a chair shape, or you can query big enough space on the floor to put something, right? With the HoloLens experiences, when you work with the real world, it's very important to understand the user's environment to build like the best experience ever.
So you're sort of putting context.
You're gonna be in it, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The more you can get into it, the better, right?
It's very good. You can do even like queries. You can like, I'm looking for this with this and this constraint, and they're like, okay, here's the space or here's the object. It's quite cool. Huh. So that's my pick of the week.
Okay, right. Isn't
it awesome?
Well, it's hard to top that pick of the week, but I think mine is actually has the right amount of coolness to do that, and that's Hour of Code. You guys know about Hour of Code?
I love this stuff. It's such a great
screen. So yeah, it's part of the CSE Ed Week that's going on
right
now.
Look at this number. Yeah, of course.
300 million. I got the number right now. plus. 300 plus million folks have subscribed to learn about coding. You know, they've either tried to do some kind of development, or they've learned a class, they've gone to a class, all kinds of stuff. And there's about over 150,000 events happening around the world. So if you look at the map, you can see it's all populated over the place. There's all kinds of stuff happening. So it's a great opportunity to fill out these 1.4 million jobs that are coming up. So it's a way to get people that otherwise wouldn't be interested to do this to actually look into coding and development and tech field and be able to use this as their catalyst to become part of this field.
But even developers are using this, right? Because essentially, if you're a C-sharp developer and you want to learn Python or something, Hour of Code's a great place to go and just try it out as well. So you're learning a new skill set. I think it's great.
If you're a C-sharp developer, you don't want to learn Python.
No, but you know. It's a developer holiday, but there's an excuse for you to not do your regular job and kind of learn something new.
An hour of code. They should have more than an hour of code.
It should be like a daily hour of code.
Yeah. Learning is awesome.
Yeah. I love this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So that's it. That's it for this week. Thank you for spending this, I don't know how much time with us. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks very much.
I think it was great.
And we'll see you next week.
Have fun.